hello, everybody, and welcome to the Life Force Families Call. Natalia, are you with us?
I am, Amanda. Great to hear your voice.
Hi, you too. All right, well, I think we can go ahead and get started. How are you doing, Natalia?
I'm great, Amanda. Thank you. Wonderful. And yeah, and how is life in beautiful Hawaii?
Life is great. It's been really, like, summery hot here, which is interesting, I guess, because the summer wasn't that hot, but, like, yesterday it was, like, 90 degrees, so.
Well, you're being cruel because it's turning all, like, damp cold in New York City, and we're gearing up for the other side of the year.
Yes, although I think fall in New York is, like, the best thing ever. I think it's so amazing.
Yeah. No, it's yeah. true. It's true. And I found that embracing every season is the way to go.
Totally.
And yeah, so I'm going to get all into the life force of fall and winter.
Okay, good.
As long as I have my sauna and my hot bath and all those other things that make it bearable.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you can always come visit me for weeks and weeks upon end if you want.
That will help. That will help. I don't know how I'll explain to my children's school, but can we arrange some sort of an educational
We
trip?
Can. Oh, yeah, there's so much education here, definitely.
Real education as opposed to, you know, textbook education.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, so we have a couple questions that have come in. I also, is there anything that you would like to bring up to discuss before we jump into questions?
Oh, you know, I always have things I want to bring up and discuss.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's go.
Well, okay, just to kind of get everyone thinking along these lines, you know, basically the family is the core of our sense of sovereignty, because if we grow up in a family that nurtures the family, the unit, the power of relationship, the beauty of each other's souls, the oneness, the components in relationship, which is individuality and oneness, then we grow into a human being that has that complete sense of sovereignty within us. We know how to be interdependent, which is the highest form of relationship, where we are, you know, unique individuals operating within a network. So we serve the whole serves us, we serve each other, and thereby have great creativity and great health and benefit from all of that, all that the whole provides. And, you know, when we think about the things that are the most destructive to our personal sovereignty, we can also see that they're undermining the sovereignty of the family. And seeing as, you know, we're able, this is the format of these conversations are, you know, revolve around family, I wanted to just kind of draw our attention to that for a little bit to understand how the life-deteriorating forces out there, the things that are vying for our attention, that are vampiring our personal energy, are actually destroying the family unit. And the family unit, sort of as we know it now, is still a far cry from what it was. And this sort of this deterioration of the family unit is something we need to pay close attention to realize that that is indeed what's happening, and that it if we were to crystallize or identify one thing that we could observe through the changes in our time, we could watch the family unit. And as that slips apart, we can watch the fabric of our own human sovereignty slip apart. So to bring our attention, our passion, our dedication back, devotion back to our family, our family unit is really, really critical, because we can't have life force if we don't have strength. We don't have operable, operational parts with strong integrity. Say, for example, in our body, then we can't have a body. So if our, you know, if our limbs, if our skin, if our, you know, our organs lose their integrity, then the whole system loses its integrity. And so we need to have strength before we even are able to conduct life force. So the strength of the family, of the concept of family, and knowing what undermines it, knowing where to stand guard at the gate in your family, in your role in your family, and how to help guide your other family members to do that is critical to the ultimate strength, the ultimate conductivity, the ultimate life force that the family will have. And contrary to, you know, what so the way the world is going, which is basically, you know, having less family and more sort of meaningless relationships, the stronger the family is, the stronger everything is. So we have to become very serious, and in my opinion, okay, you guys, anyone is more than welcome to debate this with me, but we need to strengthen that unit more and more. And if we would go through literally a laundry list of everything that is life deteriorating, we can see whether it's the vulgarity on television, the confusing messages of what family is and what relationship is, what sex is, what fun is, what education is, what success is that we get from the media and from our cultural programming. Every single one of those things undermines the family unit, and we've all moved further and further away from each other. There probably isn't a single family we can point to, other than maybe a handful of Mormon families or Orthodox Jewish families, who actually live with each other in the same area. I don't mean the same house. I mean in the same town, in the same city, village, whatever you want to call it, or whatever, you know, population we'd call it. So, you know, we're moving away from each other. We're paying more attention to external things rather than internal things. You know, there's the argument, oh, there's Skype, and there are all these various email. We can connect with each other better than ever, but not in a real way. You know, when I struggled to get in touch with my own mother because there's so much going on here, and I said to her, I said, Mom, you should be living near us. Like, that's how things were supposed to be. And, you know, she agrees, of course. But we're just, the whole thing is disintegrating. And I just think we need to pay really close attention to that. The messages that our kids are getting, the messages that we're getting, all say it's okay for the family not to be that important, for us to live far away, for us to make friends, put friends above family. And friends have their place, but they have a stronger place in family units or in and among family units as bridges between families than they have when we just dismiss our own families for the families we choose. And I joke about that all the time, too, because the family, you know, sometimes you do get on better with your friends than you do with your family members. But if we raise kids with this understanding, the family is sort of tertiary, and that, which is really what the messages that they're getting, then they're not going to have a strong sense of self. They're not going to have their own sovereignty. The same things deteriorate the family are going to deteriorate them. And at the end of the day, there's going to be nothing much to give us a sense of honor in other areas of our life. We don't have honor in that area. And it's not to say that we should be sort of overly patriotic to our family, like to the extent that we, you know, or what's the term I'm looking for? Overly.
It's like you're looking like tribal. You know,
right? Not right. We're not teaming up and not saying like we're, you know, we're for our family, and that's kind of like that's the dysfunctional family unit that you see in, you know, what do you call it? Like, you know, what's it? Like there's the Sopranos or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we're the family, and that's it. But it's not like that. It's about the wholesome aspects of family, and the most important thing is, and I don't mean to sound too much conspiracy theorist here, there's conspiracy theory and there's conspiracy fact, but the tearing apart the fabric of the family is the thing that is that is going on right now, and it's happening in a really big way, and people don't even see it happening. I guess that's why I'm trying to draw your attention to it. I want you to see that it's happening, to pay attention to it. And whatever you decide to do, whether you're a single parent, whether you're a grandmother and you don't live near your kids, whatever, that doesn't matter. What matters is that we see that the power of unity is being undermined. And that's where so much power lies, especially if we're going to raise our kids with a sense of identity that transcends identity, humanity, a sense of humanity, because ultimately the relationships come together like cells in the body, and what we need to focus on strengthening is our humanity. But we can't even get that far if we can't understand our own humanity as it relates to our family and ourselves.
Interesting, Natalia. Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of thoughts. I'm hoping I can kind of organize them here. Okay, one thing that I'm thinking as you're talking is, in the disintegration of the family as we have known it. See, because I hear what you're saying, but there's a reason why you don't live by your mom, and there's a reason why I don't live by my family anymore. And I don't think it's necessarily because we're not valuing family. I feel like there's something else going on. But hold on one sec. In the disintegration of the way that we were doing family before, what is trying to emerge in a new identification with family? Because in the beginning you were talking about interdependency, the highest level of human relationship. I couldn't agree with you more. And the word that I like to use is co-equal, cooperative equal. So in a way that the relationships are coming together where we are all whole, and by coming together we actually make everyone better. So, and that's what you, another way of saying what you were saying, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's been this concept of family, and this concept even of marriage, and this concept of motherhood and parenting, where it is about giving yourself away, and where we enter into these relationships, these unions, unwhole. We think we're unwhole, so that we get married because this person is going to fill a hole. We have children because these people are going to fill a hole for us. Versus, mm-hmm. how are we going to actually become? How are we going to model for these children what it means to be a sovereign individual, so that they can be sovereign individuals in the world? I think there's an opportunity for a re-identification and a new understanding of what it means to be in a family unit. And I think that's part of the reason why there's disintegration, because there's this new challenge for us. There's this new, okay, how are we, and it's not to get to the old. It's not, because the old was dysfunctional too. You know, there's been so much dysfunction in the way that people, I think, and again, this is totally up for debate, and it'd be really interesting to hear from you all on the phone, but you know, I think there's a reason why there's divorce beyond that we aren't valuing family anymore. I think there's a reason why these things are breaking down. That is, you know, something for us to really look at. Why are we even getting married? Why are we even having children? Why are we bringing people into the world in the first place? You know.
No, I totally hear you. And there's a great, I had this amazing sort of explanation of God recently that it speaks exactly to this. G is for to generate, O is for organization, and D is for destroyer. And to destroy in order to regenerate. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
You're exactly right. And a new order of family is hopefully going to come out of this.
Yeah,
because
it will.
It's like Pele the Destroyer, which is going on now. But I think what brings us back to is what all those things that didn't work with family, why families didn't work, it's because everyone was in a codependent relationship.
Yeah.
And they were learning how to be self-focused within family, and that doesn't work. So trying to be codependent and have interdependence doesn't ever work. So so you had basically, you know, wives and husbands resenting each other. You had kids who looked at their parents and thought, I don't want any of this, and the parents, you know, stressed out, and it just nothing is functional. So
no.
It has to be reborn into something better. But the mistake is to say, you know, well, this isn't working, so I'm gonna go and find my happiness elsewhere instead of fixing the foundation, rebirthing something better. So I think what we're hitting on here is something really, really big, which is the transformation, the transfiguration of the family.
Well, yes, and Natalia, and totally. So that rebirthing. obviously, I don't know, obviously, it has to begin with the individual. Because in some situations, it might make sense for people to move on. It really might. I mean, I think that there are times where if the person is doing everything they can on an internal level to heal themselves, not to run away from a situation, not to think that the grass is greener, not to think that someone else or some other situation is going to fix them. But I do also think that there's, because we have come together, a lot of people have come together with a very shaky foundation, with a very shaky understanding of why we're coming together. If both people, and if people aren't on the same wavelength in terms of what they're trying to rebirth, it might be difficult. I mean, I think for some people it will make sense to move away from the current situation, which is the Pele, the destroyer, to create the new. Again, without the, you know, running away from just, you know, so something else can fix it. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, everyone needs to go out and get divorced and start all over, and I really don't believe that at all. But I do also think that hanging on to things that are not working is also not helpful either.
Mm-hmm. It requires taking full responsibility,
yeah,
for understanding what it takes to make a great family and moving forward in your life with a vision, knowing that family and those relationships are critical to the building of a functional world, mm-hmm, and making sure that you have tidied up all your internal issues so you don't go out,
yeah,
and replicate the same dysfunctionality again.
Exactly, because you will. that's you know, the cycle. Unless you can heal whatever cycle is trying to be healed within your life, within the current situation, it will definitely recreate itself. You'll see the same thing show up in the next scenario in different costumes, different themes, but it's basically the same exact thing representing. Mm. So yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and it's the stagnation issue. If there's stagnation in your relationship and you're not able to get beyond that and you want to live and you have a vision for your life, then you must embrace that. You must go for that. Otherwise, you'll just wither on the vine and your life won't be what it potentially could be. And,
yeah,
you know, family by family, individual by individual, that's really what this work is about. And as I watch from the outside, I watch all these messages bombard everyone trying to just give them the momentary pleasure, the sense of possible illusionary satisfaction, relationship, romance, escape. It's just pure.
Yeah.
It's an illusion of something that really, at the end of the day, is just a temporary escape that makes things ultimately worse. And and how important the family is, just to raise our children with a sense of family, of true interdependent family values. And
yeah,
that's so much a part of what I think we need to continue to address as we do this work.
And I think too, in this bridging and transition time, I just want to say that I don't think that's always going to look like the nuclear family that we've known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's several people in my life right now that are going through very difficult times, and I think probably a lot of people on the phone right now in relationship, because there's so much change happening on the individual level. I think it's really challenging the fabric of all the relationships that we have in our life. And I've seen, and there's several relationships that are very dear to me, and I think part of what is making it especially challenging is the idea that the children have come in to experience this mother-father relationship, this nuclear mother-father relationship. And in one of the cases that I'm thinking of, that there's actually abuse involved, in emotional and physical abuse involved in the mother-father relationship. So I say to this individual, that this is my belief, that the children have been born into this dynamic, knowing that they are coming into this dynamic. I don't think it's because they want this mother and father in particular to stay together in a very dysfunctional situation. That perhaps it is better for this child to be in a family where those two individuals are not together. And they've done, you know, they've spent the last, you know, 4 or 5 years trying to work it out, and it's clearly not working out. So I think, too, I would want to say that that family doesn't necessarily look like mother, father, two children. That what's most important is that we are modeling for the children health, like full health. And what that looks like may not always look the same. And that could look like one parent, that could look like two parents, that could look like a whole village parenting. So, you know, I think, too, just as people are thinking about this in their own life, you know, to not get attached to what that looks like, you know, and not having to look a certain way.
Yeah, that's really important because we're so used to having a program that if we take the program away, we kind of look for another program or another vision, a visual to fill it, and that's absolutely true. I mean, if you have a relationship with one person that is, you know, say you're, again, maybe a single parent, that is family. That's the health
exactly.
That needs to be generated right there in that unit.
Yeah.
And that's what matters. And there may be other family members that are periphery who kind of are you've maybe put to the side because they're not as healthy. They don't bring healthy messages to your child or to you.
Yeah.
But that's exactly right. And having the wisdom to know what your family is and to know it as family, even if it doesn't look like the typical family.
Yeah. Well, in Hawaii, I love this. I don't know if I've said this on the call before, but all the children call all the adults auntie and uncle. So you'll just be out and about, and a little child will say, "Hey, auntie, can you help me open the door? Auntie, look at what I found." And there's this sense of family that's created, and also a sense of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
For me as an adult to that child, to mm-hmm. then you know model certain behavior for them. And I think another one of my beliefs is that the family unit that we grow up with is there to be a training ground for the world family.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we're really, that we're really working to create. I mean, we're working to create a sense of unity between all of us, not just our immediate family. So yes, it's great if you get to be brought up in a family that models that perfectly for you. But the truth is most people have not and will not. But the idea eventually is for us to become a world family where we do look at all children as our children, where children look at all of us as the models for behavior, for adult behavior. So, you know, we're on the bridge. I mean, Natalia, one of the best things you taught me is the bridge. And, you know, we have this, like, vision of where we want to go as humanity. And in the meantime, how do we get there? And, you know, what steps can we take? We can't be too hard on ourselves because we are in this, like, incredible transition time.
Right, and it's true. The thing I think that the thing that concerns me is that, like with you know yeast in the body, there is an undercurrent, a riptide, that is tearing everything apart as quickly as we're trying to build and fix.
Yeah.
And if we don't know, if we can't see what's going on, if someone doesn't know that yeast is an issue, and they're continuing to persevere with their concept of, say, raw foodism or something, because they think that's going to fix things, and they don't see how things actually are. It's like, for example, the way I would say is that the family, the sense of interdependency in a family unit is the bridge between a world that's disintegrating into soup where no one means anything to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And a world that you're describing, which is the perfect world where we all love and care for each other like brothers and sisters, like mothers, fathers, and children. So mm-hmm. every child is our own child, and every aged parent is our own aged parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the golden state that we need to get to from the bridge. And in between the two, transcends the sense of family. And if we can, and so correcting it, it gives us a sense of what family is and what is worth honoring, defending, and ultimately what it means is that love, agape love, interdependent love across boundaries, where you just love every human being as yourself, as Christ said, that's what is at central to that. We are losing that in ourselves, our sense of self-love, in our sense of love of our siblings and parents and children. And we might say that we love our children fiercely. Now, if we're so complete, that fierce, on a scale of 1 to 10, that fierceness is going to be a 10 as opposed to what is really much more like relatively like a 3 for people who don't fully grasp what it means to love. So we're bringing it back to love, and the family is a place for us to learn that love better than any other place. It's a more challenging field than some friendships. Friendships can be easier to walk away from and easier to walk toward friendship. Much more challenging to learn how to love unconditionally in a family situation. But my concern and the reason I'm drawing attention to this is because there is this undercurrent, this riptide that's tearing the fabric of relationship apart, and it's basically making people numb. So they're not loving as much, they're not hating as much, they're just not feeling as much. They have nothing to fight for. They have nothing to defend in the most beautiful sense. The idea that anger is a call to protect. And there's that honor, that sense of dignity of being willing to give all for something, and maybe maybe it's because it feels like we used to say America was the land of the free and the home of the brave, and it just doesn't feel that way anymore. And it feels like there's a bunch of drones being sent out to do the military's dirty work, and nobody's noticing that nobody seems to care about the families and the children that are killed. And I don't mean to get too, political about the whole thing, but it is a mirror of how little our culture seems to care. And say that war is going on forever, but it's different when you're having, it's not man-to-man combat anymore. We're sending out drones to just go in and wreak havoc on villages. Anyway, we've got to come back to that place of love.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think the people on this call, I think the people in this community were the ones who are being called to do this, because we're the ones who understand what's going on, and we're the ones who can hold that vibration of love for everybody else. And I think the more of us that come together in this way, the more of us that hold that vision for what humanity can be, that when we come together in that light, we're pulling people up with us. And it may seem like it's not happening, or it takes too long to happen, or whatever, but if we can hold that high vision for what we know humans, what we're all capable of, if we can hold that there, that's how we bring everyone else up. And I think actually, while you were talking, I had a few books and audios and things that came to mind. One is check out what Marianne Williamson is up to, because she is really starting to speak very strongly and loudly about people of a certain consciousness level getting involved in politics, getting involved in the places where decisions are being made, to speak to what you're talking about there in terms of war and things. There's also a audio by a man named Adya Shante. Please don't ask me to spell that. That's going to be a hard one. But the audio is called True Love. And Natalia, when you were talking about love and getting back to agape and unconditional love, I think that is so key. I think that people, we have a definition of love that is totally warped. And so when we apply our warped definition of love to our relationships with our spouses, with our children, with each other, only warped things can come out of it. And I think that, when you talk about the powers that be and the forces that be, the yeast that's sort of
disrupting the fabric of our communities and our society. I think that one of the most brilliant moves that those forces have made is totally, for lack of a better term, jacking up what we believe love is. So understanding the truth of what love is, that it's alignment, that it's connection with source, is key to us healing in so many ways. So True Love by Adya Shante, and I can look up the spelling of his name and get that, is an amazing audio that I think really speaks to that. And then, of course, most of you have probably already read, but if you have not read Marianne Williamson's A Return to Love, that's another book that is just so foundational in terms of understanding what love really is. Because I think when we're using the word love, everyone's interpreting that completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that coming to a common foundation of understanding what that actually is, I think is key in terms of healing how we function in families, how we function with our children, how we function with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Amanda.
Does anyone want to jump in? If you do, go ahead and press 2 on your keypad. If not, if you just have a question about children and food and anything that's happening in your life that you want to bring up, go ahead and press 1 on the keypad. Okay. Let's see. Shannon. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Hi, Shannon.
Good. Hi, Natalia. Hi, Amanda. Oh, my goodness. I just got a little emotional. It's nice to hear both of you. And I love that you guys are talking about this because, I mean, Natalia, you know so much how this whole journey has been for me. And just for, if it helps anybody listening, you know, I started on this the cleansing to help get pregnant, you know, to help heal my body of the candida and the yeast and all those things. And Natalia had told my husband that I would benefit in ways that I was not expecting and that it would go so much farther. And as I started cleansing and all these things from my past came up, and all the resentments toward my parents and the horrible things going on in my family and all this stuff. And I was acting out, you know, and it was affecting my in-laws and everybody. Nobody wanted to be around me, and it was horrible. And I had to really sit back and realize, okay, when children act out, obviously they're needing love or something like that. They're hurting. And I was like, well, okay, how can I love other people if I don't feel the same way about myself? So I had to do a lot of deeper searching to really focus on my own healing and not try to help other people so much and just focus on my own self-love. And then once I was really into that and really healing emotionally and mentally it within myself, that's when I could see more clearly and my love for the people around me just blossomed. And taking it up a notch with my husband, you know, loving him, we've been just over the last couple of years really working on loving each other according to our own love languages. And so him allowing me to do all my cleansing and my buy my produce and my juicing, all this stuff, no negative anything towards me, just complete acceptance. Even if he doesn't quite agree. And then me completely, I'll make him steak or hamburgers or whatever he wants and not make a big deal about it and just focus on the other things that are awesome about him. And our marriage, our just friendship has completely just, it's incredible. It's just been amazing. And now we're to the point where we have even a stronger desire to have children together. Not just we want to have kids, but, you know, you're the person that I want to have a family with. And so for us, strengthening and building and healing and loving each other as a couple and building that unity in our home just as us is the empowering to children far more than if we had had kids right when we wanted them 7 years ago. So that love is going to emanate towards kids, children in a home. And so that's just this is something I was just we've been experiencing in our home. So
I'm so glad you shared that. I mean, that's what every couple has to do. They have to get rid of the codependency, and you did it. I mean, it's that to get to understand that there are different members of the relationship have different love languages. That alone is a huge epiphany, and you know, and to come to that and to implement it, and then you know, to wake up in the morning and celebrate the other person for exactly what they are, and not what you want them to be, and not be the you know the codependency is like, you know, I'll do this and this and this for you, and I'll be this and this and this, and then you give me that because I'd give you this, you know, and that's how most relationships operate. And to get over that, and then to raise a child, to bring a child into an interdependent relationship with parents, that just sets the child for life, you know, and that's exactly what we're talking about. I'm so glad you shared that story, and I'm so happy it worked out that way, and it's all thanks to your diligent, nose firmly the grindstone, knowing that you could sculpt something so beautiful out of what you were given.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, and yeah, it's just been an amazing gift, I have to say. Painful to go through, but an absolute gift. So,
Shannon, is there anything that you can share with everyone on the phone? You said that you started with loving yourself, that you had the insight that it was impossible for you to you know, love other people, and you know, what would a child be saying if they were acting out? Was there anything in particular that you did to really embrace yourself? I mean, what did that journey look like for you?
Oh my goodness. Well, into my adult years, I had to look back at behaviors and patterns that I had and where they came from. And I saw how the way that I had been raised and treated and mistreated and talked to verbally and emotionally. And I teach a lot of music and I teach a lot of children. And so I've been doing a lot of study on the conscious discipline. If anybody has read that book by Becky Bailey, Conscious Discipline, it talks actually about the frontal lobes and the different lobes of the brain and how your behaviors and treatment of children and people in general affects them. And so I just had been studying all this, and I saw myself in these things that I was reading about these children. I was like, I get it. My frontal lobe has been completely destroyed, you know, or whatever. And so I started making it not personal. I started just taking it, removing it from the, oh my gosh, you're so stupid, I can't believe you did that, and just berating myself, having those Smeagol moments, you know, and instead of being like, okay, that was a behavior, let's just work on it. And so I just really tried to remove myself and not making it personal towards myself. And when I stopped beating myself down, then I had enough room to breathe. I had enough room to just pick myself up, and then I really tried to make it light. Like, I just tried to start laughing about things and being like, well, you did it again. Okay, moving on, you know, and just tried to keep it light so that it wasn't so heavy in my home, and because emotions are very contagious, you know, and so I just tried to keep it very positive. Those were two main things that I really started to do, and then my compassion and my empathy for people, as I started healing and working through that, I just started to see other people even more deeply, and just I just wanted to be like, oh, no, don't worry, it's okay, keep going, you know, and so the more that I really tried to see the little Shannon and nurture her and give her what I think she needed and wanted, so those were a lot of the things. And then again, you know, releasing myself from my husband as far as turning him into a father figure, making him just an independent being. Like, okay, what if we were just college roommates? How would I treat him? I would keep the house nice and clean. So I started to take that pressure from him. I had a lot to, like, learn. I really had to grow up as far as that goes. But it was those little things. And I did pray a lot for specific help with help me be positive today. Give me the gift of organization. I really want to work on these things. And so those are some key things that I really tried to do. And also, I guess, not having been able to have children, I had five years ago, I just went ahead and opened my heart and just allowed myself to love the children around me and to be that role model for them, not to hold it in, holding it, like, for my own kids one day. I don't know why I even thought that, but I was like, no, I have a lot of love to give, and I'm going to give it to these little ones and whoever comes in contact with me because they need it. So I had to be very accountable for things and very honest. That was another one. I realized I've been very dishonest emotionally and internally my whole life, hiding things, you know, covering things up and stuff, and I had to be very honest.
Wow, Shannon, that's like, I feel like you covered every single, like, metaphysical, spiritual growth 101, like, everything. I mean, it's amazing that you're a true goddess warrior. I mean, like, to battle through all of that in such a, and that's love. Like, what you just went through, every single aspect of that journey that you went on, that is what love is. Because what you really were and are is loyal to the truth of who you are, the truth of who you are, not the lies, not the programs, not the conditioning. And when you said you stopped personalizing it, that to me has been such a huge shift, because when we personalize it, we're believing the lie that we are those things. When the truth is, we're not those behaviors, we're not those programs, we're not those conditioning. And when you can see it that way, when you said you started being able to be more light, I like to think of it as like, oh, that's cute, Amanda. Look at what cute Amanda's doing. You know, that's so silly. She does that sometimes. But when we can see ourselves that way, then we can keep it in that again. We can keep it in that high vibration of love, and then things dissolve behind us. The old behaviors are given room to dissolve. We don't feed them anymore with the guilt and the shame and the anger and the resentment, because all those old behaviors are fed from that old reaction that you had. But now that you shifted that reaction, and when you are looking at other children and treating them as if that shift where you said, I want children, but I'm going to open my heart and I'm going to love all children. We can't get what we're not willing to give. So when you made that shift, you basically said to the universe, to God, to source, whatever you want to call it, I have love enough in my heart to love children, and I'm not attached to them having to be my children. That, I mean, wow. Very inspirational, Shannon.
Thank you.
No, so beautiful.
Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for letting me share. If it helps anyone, that's why I wanted to share. So, thank you so much.
The transformation is huge. And I was there to witness it. And because it's been over the course of quite a few years, as you said.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I find particularly interesting is that you used to wear quite a lot of self-doubt. Like, you didn't really believe that you could really get to this full womanhood, the sense of really, you have so much confidence now. It's a quiet confidence, but it's very, very much an anchored confidence. Whereas when you started this journey, it was like you were wearing a cloak of self-doubt, and you've just shed that, and you've come into your fullness.
Yeah, that's totally how it feels. You're right, I had those moments where I was like, I don't know how I can do this. I was just like, and I would tell my husband, just move on, because I have a lot of work to do. And, you know, but we both stuck it out. And it's just, you know, for the right reasons, the right motives. And he had said once, made some comment about, you know, making changes to keep him around kind of thing. And I told him, I was like, I respect you way too much, respect myself way too much. I want to do everything for the right reason, and I want you to know that I make changes simply for myself and that this is who I am, and that it's not superficial. And it kind of took him by surprise, because that's kind of what he was used to growing up, you know, with girls and his own experience with other girls. And so I think he felt very like, oh, okay, okay, you know, mm-hmm. so we both were releasing each other of the pressure and just, and our expectations of each other, and just completely just accepted it, you know, and we're accountable for our own things, and yeah, it's just a lot of, yeah, making a lot of strong emotional choices, and as he's been loving himself more, that has affected me, and mm-hmm. him being treated better at work, him treating himself better, it's just, it's been this kind of flow, you know, it's just mm-hmm. into our homes, so when both people, and if, whether it's a, like you were saying, Amanda, whether it's an in-your-home kind of family or just people around, when everybody is just innately within themselves, like a little plant, getting the sun and the water, whatever nutrition they need emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, if everybody is doing that, you can't help but bounce off each other. So, yeah, Natalia, you watched this whole, and just, it's been incredible.
Now I feel like we have a guest teacher. Don't you agree, Amanda? Don't you
we
feel like
do.
We have like a guest teacher on the show today?
We do. Well, it's perfect because that's the harmony that she is experiencing in this microcosm of the relationship between her and her spouse is basically the harmony that we can experience on this planet when we each do that work that you're talking about, Shannon. And it's you, your tenacity through the difficult times and holding true to who you are, even when your husband was thinking, you know, he was projecting based on his last experiences that you were doing this just to keep him around. You know, all that's a program too, that, you know, and so you weren't holding him to that either. I mean, you were solely focused on the growth and the work that you needed to do for yourself. If we all do that, if we all can do that, starting with all these people on this phone right now, there are ripple effects across the world that we will just, you'll start seeing, Shannon, and maybe you already are, like maybe your immediate family, your friends, people at his work. I mean, you start to see the ripple effects that it really does help everyone around you when you have that commitment to what is true for you.
Yeah, And it's been a very balance at the same time, because when I was first starting and being, you know, on this, the cleansing, I was like, hey, I'm not going to let anything stop me. No one's going to bully me. I have to stay focused. And I became almost inconsiderate of anybody else around me. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so focused on what I needed, what I wanted, and I wasn't going to worry so much about what other people thought, that I think I overstepped. In a sense, you know, I went a little over too far with other people's boundaries. And so now this time around, now that things have smoothed over with so much family and with him and our relationship, I'm still watching my behaviors. Like, I'm still making sure that I'm not letting myself slip into, like, okay, things are good. I'm just going to be how I was again, you know. Just like, okay, you know, just keep up with the good changes I've made. And so
yes.
Keeping moving forward, if that makes sense, you know. Not
it does. Well, the ego's tricky. Like, anytime we feel, oh, it's all good, I'm good, that's probably the time we need to be most diligent. Is when,
yeah. Yeah.
when we start getting lax and feeling like, you know, oh, we got it licked. It's taken care of. The ego is
yeah.
much trickier than that, and it'll come through the back door if we're not careful.
Yeah, it's yeah. Have you read that book, You Are Special, by Lex? But it's that book about the Wemmicks.
No.
It's a, mm-hmm. it's called You Are Special, and it's about this carpenter, Eli, makes all these wooden people, and they're called Wemmicks. And all around the town, there's Wemmicks putting dots and stars on each other. And the dots are, if their paint is peeling or if there's something wrong with them, they put paint on the dots on them. If they're beautiful and talented, they get stars. And so all these Wemmicks are walking around with stars and dots. And then this one Wemmick, he's just covered in dots. And he meets this one Wemmick who's not covered in anything. And he asks her, why don't you have anything on you? And she said, because I don't let them stick. I don't let stars or dots stick. I don't care what other people think. I know with myself. And I just go visit Eli every day to remember how special I am just by being me. Mm-hmm. So he goes and visits Eli. And Eli tells him, just come see me every day. and just remember how special you are, because I made you and I don't make mistakes. And so as he walks away, one of the dots falls off. And so I shared that with my husband because, you know, when other people, my husband's just, I mean, he's the most amazing, beautiful, capable person I know. And you know, he has his own set of things, you know, self-love, you know, things like that. So the more that I could demonstrate my own self-love within myself, like you're saying, to stay true without overstepping his bounds and making it inconvenient for him as far as being inconsiderate, you know, but allowing him to also self-love, and then lots of praise and feeding all the good things that I saw in him, just continuing that going, he's slowly and surely starting to keep believing it, and he's a good person just by being who he is, not because he fixes things around our house or because he buys me stuff, simply because he's this great person, and I've seen a huge change in him when all his expectations were removed, and he's removed those expectations more from me, and we've been able to communicate our real feelings maturely and more professionally, if that makes sense, from person to person in a loving way. So it's been great. I'm sorry if I'm talking too much.
No, it's awesome. It's great. As Natalia said, you're our guest teacher for the day. Good. And it's all based on your own very real personal experience, which is the best way to teach. You know, you're teaching with your life, which is exactly the way that we can all have impact on each other. So what a big testimony to your husband as well. He sounds incredible.
Yes. So thank you. And thank you. It's an honor. Thank you so much for letting me take the time.
No, thank you so much, Hannah. I know that you would have impacted a lot of people in a really positive way. So
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, and carry on.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. I love you both. So.
You
bye.
Too, Shannon. Thank you. Okay, does anyone else have anything that they want to share on this topic and or questions that they wanted to ask today? You can go ahead and press 1 or 2 on your keypad. And, Natalia, we did have a question come in via email before the call. So I'm going to go ahead and read that one. It's actually from a person who I think, I don't know how long ago it was, a month or two ago, asked a question about eczema for their daughter, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And basically she says, we are still battling my 3.5-year-old daughter's eczema on her wrists. Do you remember this?
I do remember, yep.
Yeah. She ended up getting a staph infection via the open wounds, and we battled that naturally for 3 weeks, ended up using antibiotics to kill it off because it was explained to me as bacterial. The thought was that if we cleared up the staph, possibly the eczema would clear up too. Avoiding specific foods was encouraged, and then going deeper into an elimination diet. We have tried every balm, honey, Neosporin, etc. We've been wrapping her wrists so she won't scratch them back open. Thankfully, she seems to be past that phase. We have been given supplements based on a new round of testing that diagnosed her with leaky gut. We are dosing her with probiotics and a few other things specifically given to treat the eczema. Oh, and just for the record, she's in great spirits, a complete joy in our lives, and only gets freaked and sad when she has scratched her wrist open or has to wash her hands and they sting. And she is a great pooper, usually a couple times a day, no diarrhea. Okay, so what ideas do you have for an elimination diet for a 3.5-year-old? No eggs, no dairy, goat cheese, even though fish is allowed, she eats so much, I feel the need to eliminate it, and so much research is out there about even fish being super contaminated. No nuts, that leaves rice and veggies. Hard to do with preschool and other activities, but I'm willing. She has coconut water every day and loves it. Could it feed sugar in her system? Does that need to go too? My research has led me to enzyme therapy, collecting your urine over 24 hours, assessing it, and determining where your body is lacking a variety of enzymes that you then supplement. I know we aren't big on supplements, but how do I handle this gracefully if my daughter is seemingly missing something or her body is unable to heal itself? Any experience with the Lumis method? Okay. Also in my research, water. Could you all speak into what the verdict is on water filters? I'm wondering about not just our drinking water, but our cooking and bathing water.
We live in downtown Seattle in a condo, so I can't put a system in our whole building, but I have purchased filters for the bath. For the kitchen, though, cooking, drinking, etc., and frankly, enemas, what's the best water filter? Is it a distiller, an ionizer? I feel like that could be affecting her, too. In the process of an elimination diet, I want to make sure I am even cooking everything with good water, trying to leave no stone unturned. Thank you for reading. She hoped to join the call, but she didn't know if she would be able to. So,
Gosh. Okay. Well, the thing that rings out in my mind is the water. And I'm glad that she thought of that and mentioned it. Here's the thing. I mean, we're living in this world where everything is so highly contaminated. And while we can know the tools for, you know, harmonizing the body so that if the body's in perfect harmony, there are no symptoms, and for rectifying most issues, it's like that riptide. It's like things are pulling, are dismantling the integrity of the body quicker than we can keep up with correcting it, so long as we live in this, you know, in this very compromised natural world. So the water certainly is paramount. I'm not sure what water is like in Seattle, if it's one of the better or worse locations for water, but there is so much fluoride and chlorine and pharmaceutical drug residue and all of this going into our water supply. And of course, it's going to the water supply, it's going into all of the agricultural soil. It is an untenable problem. That which is unsustainable, but taken to the umpteenth, and that's where we sort of that's the intersection we find ourselves at today. So, you know, enzyme therapy and removing what's it called, elimination diet, all of these things theoretically could work in a world that wasn't so corrupted. I mean, if our water and soil and produce is corrupted, I mean, everything is. This is why I struggle to come up with a solution, because there, unfortunately, is not necessarily a solution that's going to fix this without us fixing our world. A couple things come to mind, though, that can be tried. One would be a colloidal silver. Colloidal silver will help to kill anything in the body that is not right. It's, similar to peroxide, in colloidal silver's case, will kill and harmonize. Peroxide's case, you know, it just devastates anything that isn't ideal in the body. And both have the benefit of not killing anything that's not good, or anything, not killing anything that is good, I beg your pardon. So something like, Dr. Horwitz has a product. In fact, I have it here. Let me just pull it out so I get the name right. It is OxySilver. It's a colloidal silver infused with oxygen and monatomic silver. Let's see, yes, exactly. So that is something, and that could be purchased at, I think it's, If you Google Dr. Horwitz, HORWITZ, and OxySilver, you should be able to find his website pretty readily. And so something like OxySilver, a colloidal silver, a high-grade colloidal silver, or some kind of monatomic gold or silver will be very helpful. If anything can be helpful that we can put in from the outside, that would be, and that's totally safe for children to take. He also has a water filtration product that can go into the sink, and I believe you can speak to his people about it. But I think it will, if you put it like in the bathroom, for example, it'll work throughout all the faucets in there, and it's much more powerful than something like a regular shower filter would be. So it sounds to me like she's either very sensitive, or
because of the onslaught, it's the straw that's breaking the camel's back, and so this rash keeps coming up. She's having good poos. I'm surprised they're saying that she has leaky gut. I think sometimes, and it could be that she has some sort of leaky gut syndrome, but sometimes doctors just give diagnoses because they don't know what else to say. And I hate to sort of be, I suppose, derisive in any way of diagnoses, but that is happening a lot. So whether it's, you know, it could be a completely valid diagnosis, but sometimes Lyme disease and leaky gut and IBS, they just kind of get thrown in there because they don't know what else is going on. But we can't forget that we are a holograph of this universe and of our planet. So these things are going on. It should just drive our impetus even more strongly to make sure that legislations that don't protect us don't get passed. And it's a, you know, it's no fun to get involved in the political games. Trust me, I steer clear of them myself, but I keep myself really educated. And, you know, Monsanto, being the biggest food corporation in the world, is getting their food passed and their GMOs, despite the fact that they're causing enormous tumors in lab rats. And the people who work at Monsanto won't even eat the GMO foods. They only have organic cafeterias. The people who run them would never eat them. They know what's going on in the laboratories. I mean, this is a small, in many ways, a small symptom, difficult and annoying and frustrating for a parent who's trying to do everything right. But compared to what's happening at large and what's coming, you know, it brings us back to we have to heal ourselves, heal the world, bring everything to its highest degree of expression, because these things are going on around us, whether we like to admit it or not, because it's often, you know, those of us who are just are most sovereign who want to stay out of the, you know, keep our attention out of what's really going on. But what we need to do is we need to see what's going on around us and be very, very clear that in the physical world, as we know it, these things are occurring and not just, you know, spiritualize ourselves up and out of it without taking a responsibility for what's going on. And then taking responsibility by making sure that everything you're doing is in harmony, because as Amanda says, as we correct ourselves, we lift everybody up and out. So, you know, this may or may not be a satisfying response for the mother. I do think that the colloidal silver can go a long way to helping, and the filtration system, and certainly she can go ahead and experiment with the elimination diet, making sure that in that elimination diet there are no GMO foods. And that gets tricky because what do we have? We have a situation where there's organic farmers who are now, all the seeds from the GMO farms are blown into their fields. Of course, they're being put out of business because they're being sued by the GMO farms because they, you know, for intellectual or for rights, you know, because the sense that they're actually stealing the seeds, which of course is ludicrous. But these are all things that are, you know, being taken seriously and not as a joke in the highest courts around agriculture. It's, you know, it's because these courts are being lined by the pocket. Their pockets are being lined by the big corporations like Monsanto, who can afford anything to get their way to undermine our health and to make us addicts and to make us mutants or worse, zombies, like all these, you know, this is the other thing that's, you know, it's hot now. Vampires and zombies, what are they turning us into? They're vampiring our energy and turning people into zombies. So art mirroring reality or the other way around. But at any rate, I hope that helps. And again, it's just vigilance, vigilance, vigilance around relationships, ourselves, our self-love, as Shannon reminded us, around what we put in our bodies, our children, what the symptoms could be caused by, seeing everything in from a very, very vast perspective. You know, as she wrote about the water, the food, there are all these different players in the works, gumming up the works, and we need to figure out how each one is impacting us, not so we can dwell on it and sort of bitch and moan about it, but so we can become as protective of ourselves as possible while knowing that we are in the soup as well. And so we are, until everything's corrected, until we rectified the whole planetary problem, we're subject to it
just as much as anybody else.
It's like we talked about last time with the war wounds. It's like, it's kind of like we're all wearing it, and we will until we can clean up our act. A couple things come to mind, Natalia, if it's okay to share a few more minutes. But and definitely not to over-spiritualize it, but to also pull out some research that has been done that shows ways that we can actually be above some of the noise and some of the effects of all of the things that are happening in our world. The Power versus Force, do you remember his name? He wrote a book called Power versus Force. Do you know which one I'm talking about, Natalia?
I don't, but...
Okay. In this study, he's done, you know, years and years and years of kinesiology research, and what they found is that there were certain people that they would study with the kinesiology, the muscle testing, that would not be affected by things that most human beings are affected by. So fluorescent lighting, polluted water, toxic food, even, you know, these certain people that they would test were unaffected by these things that, you know, that most humans fall subject to. And the thing that all of these people had in common was that for about at least 5 years, and this study was done, you know, 10, 15 years ago maybe, and now that things are accelerating on the planet, it's possible that it wouldn't take 5 years, and maybe it would be more like 3 years. But the thing that all these people had in common was that they had a dedication to the study and understanding and practice of unity consciousness. And so these people, you know, not religion, not, you know, any type of specific dogmatic religion, but a dedication to understanding unity between us and all things. So they were able to transcend even the most toxic of things in the environment. So that's one thing that we can think about. The other one that came up too was Dr. O'Hara's studies on water and how the molecules of the water are actually affected by the words, the feelings, the vibratory field that it's surrounded by. So when you're thinking of your water in Seattle, bless it. Send love to it. Put love on the container that it's in. And, you know, our food, all of it, we have to pull out every measure at this point to change the vibration of the food. And I believe that we can, you know, that love in the end overcomes all of this fear and hatred and anger and ugliness. And if we can, first beginning with ourselves, like Shannon so illustrated, if we can hold that, then we can transform even the things that, that we know are happening, that are very, they're happening because they want us to be drones and zombies. Would you say zombies and what's the other thing that's in right now? Wait, zombies are in right now?
Vampires. Vampires. You didn't know zombies are in? Oh, my God. I mean,
zombies,
well, you know what,
in?
Maybe you need to have maybe slightly older children. My 10 and 12-year-old, everything is zombies. Like the books, I mean, it's really, really sick.
Zombies
and
are in. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, like I mean, you must be in Hawaii or something to not know about that.
I haven't really been that into zombies since I've been out here in Hawaii, and I haven't really seen them. Whoa, that's crazy. Oh my gosh. Well, anyways, we're out
I think
of time.
They're preparing us. They're preparing us for what, and not. I mean, it doesn't help that of course they have these, you know, this new street drug thing you heard about that, right? Where the they're acting like zombies, like they're actually eating people. There's this cannibalism thing going on. It's like a reaction from this drug that people are taking. Everyone listening is going to know what I'm talking about, but Amanda, it's just as well you don't. It's okay. It's okay. I wish I didn't know, frankly.
Oh my gosh, it's craziness. Craziness for sure. So we all have a lot of work to do. That's the bottom line. We
It's the people like us who are waking up to all of it, who we have a lot of work to do, because obviously the forces on the other side are really strong. So, you know, there's only one way out, and that's through wholeness, love, unity, beauty. We have to be the ones to hold that, because there's plenty of people holding the other one.
Yeah, they're only strong as long as there's ignorance.
Exactly.
The second we have, there's knowledge, they and that's why they want to make everyone as stupid as possible, as quickly as possible, so we
totally
can't get that far and figure out and
exactly
turn them to rubbish.
Keep us awake enough that there's energy that can be pulled from us, but not so awake that we realize that we've been pawns.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, well, anyways, thanks everybody for being on the call, and thank you, Natalia, for the very invigorating conversation at 6:30 a.m. in the morning for me.
Up and at 'em, babe.
Up and at 'em. Another day's work.
Cool.
All right,
thanks,
everybody,
for listening.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll talk to you next month.